Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Well, school days, dear old golden rule days. But that isn't the chant and that isn't the song we're going to sing about going back to school in the campuses of this country. And we're going to say instead, strike, 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 picketing and angry chants, sit-ins and arrests. My goodness, is this higher education? Well, unfortunately, you betcha. Walls of ivy tangled with pickets.
And we are going to be talking with Laura Smith, who's the president of Local 34 of the Hotel and Restaurant Workers Union at Yale University, and Virginia Henry, a custodian from Local 35 and part of the negotiating committee at Yale, and Bill Meyerson, communication organizers of the Federation of Hospital and University Employees at, guess what? Yale University on strike. All right.
2,000 workers on strike, and Yale has one of the worst histories of any institution in this country when it comes to its workers. We're going to find out what in the world is going on in higher education and why these institutions of higher learning have failed to, shall we say, internalize their own politics when it comes to the way they treat their workers. Really must be all about.
Well, maybe they have internalized their own politics, and that's another question.
Well, indeed.
So why don't we ask some of the folks at Yale?
Well, let's turn to the walls of ivy tangled with pickets, the Yale University strike.
Okay, let's start with Laura Smith, who is the president of Local 34, the clerical local at Yale University. Laura, first give us some background about your local. Who do you represent?
I work as an office assistant in the development office at Yale, and I also currently serve as the elected president for Local 34, the Union of Clerical and Technical Workers. We represent close to 3,000 clerical workers, secretaries, librarians, as well as technical workers, medical assistants, research technicians, etc. We have a wide variety of folks in our bargaining unit doing all kinds of work for the university.
You know, I haven't had a chance yet to fully recuperate from watching the video film that was made the last time Yale was out. The film was actually just completed, and here we are again in a relatively, 2-year period, and the workers are out again. And maybe we can move to Bill Meyerson, communications organizer with the Federation of Hospital and University Employees. Why is Yale such a miserable, stingy, outrageous employer?
What is your question?
It is a unique and notorious strike and labor relations history at Yale since 1968. This is the 10th strike. Since that time, there's only been one contract that was reached without a strike, and that was in 1988. So it is a mess, and I think that the reason for that may be in the fact that Yale, even compared to its other Ivy League institutions, has no history of democratic process. Although they claim to represent the greatest values of Western civilization and democracy. In fact, their own internal processes don't involve democratic process at all. The faculty have no role in governance. The students have no role in governance. So the last people they're going to talk to are the help, right? The people who do the work. And that is largely the problem. It's one of elitism and incredible arrogance.
Virginia Henry.
And it's part of the culture. It's part of the organizational culture of the institution.
Virginia Henry, you're a custodian at Yale University on the negotiating committee for Local 35. How does this play out in terms of what Bill Meyerson was saying in terms of Yale's intransigence? How does this play out in terms of the kind of issues that you want them to agree to? What are the issues?
Mostly the issues are pensions. wages, job security. Those are our main issues. And Yale doesn't seem to want to address those issues. As you said before, they're stingy, and that's the bottom line.
See, I hit it right on the head, Ken.
Well, I know, but I wanted them to say it.
They did.
Okay, but when you're talking about job security, what exactly are you talking about? You're talking about layoffs or?
Well, Local 35 has some job security. Local 34 has no job security. And you would have to ask Laura Smith more about that because the two unions work together, but they work a little differently as far as job security is concerned.
Well, one of the things I want to do is put a human face on who the workers are. We can talk about locals and we can talk about categories of people, but what does it mean for you and for your family to be engaged in this strike, which has been quite rancorous? There are already over 100 people that are arrested. It's much to my really good feeling about Jesse Jackson that he came in to work with the students because the students need their campus to be one that is sensitive and considerate of the working class. Otherwise, what really is education all about? And I'm thrilled that Jesse came in and stood with people and got arrested. But physically, psychologically, what is it like to be in the midst of these harsh conditions with an institution that seems to be so disrespectful to its workers?
Well, number one, we are all feeling the pinch right now. Not having a paycheck. Even though we have help from the unions, I was one of the ones arrested. I wasn't arrested at the same time. Jesse Jackson was arrested, but a couple of days before. It's hard. It's hard on the workers. It's hard on the families. And it's much easier to be at work. And the last thing we want to do is to hurt the students. It's not about disrupting classes or disrupting the students. It's about getting respect from the university.
And what did it take for you to make a commitment to your work such that you would actually get arrested?
Well, it's like you have, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And, we have to take a stand. Otherwise, it would be, and it probably will be, we'll probably have to go out again before the next contract is signed, but it's the same old thing every time. And I'm 63. In 2 years, I'll be retiring, and I want to retire with a decent pension. Right now, when I retire at age 65, my pension will be just $8,328 a year.
Oh, gosh.
And that's way, way below poverty.
And how long have you worked at Yale?
I've worked here for 19 years, and when I retire, I would have worked here for 21 years.
19 years, and what kind of work do you explicitly do?
I'm a custodian. I clean the halls, I do the floors, I clean the bathrooms, I clean the offices, I clean.
And you will retire with $8,000.
Exactly, after 21 years.
Laura, are the clerical workers in the same boat with the custodial workers with regard to pensions?
Yes, basically. Within our union, Local 34, the salaries in every labor grade are relatively low. Even our top labor grades, folks are making, I believe, only in the neighborhood of 19 something an hour at the top of our top labor grade. So we're looking at wages that are significantly lower than those of our colleagues at peer institutions, which only compound the pension problem. Our folks really are retiring into poverty. We have, some of our former coworkers who have retired and have come back and talked to us about the lives they're being forced to live on their pensions now. You know, one couple both worked for Yale for more than 20 years and are retired now and face the prospect of, you know, being unable to afford to travel to visit their grandchildren. They're facing having to apply for state assistance to pay their property taxes on their home in order to keep it. You know, there are those kinds of issues that all of us realize need to be addressed. Certainly for all of us who are here now and expect to retire in the future, but we think that Yale has some moral obligation as well to those who already have retired in terms of helping to repair the mistakes of the past. But certainly for those of us moving on into the future, we need to make certain that our future is a better one.
Ken, the average pension for an employee who retires at 20 plus years is $621
a month.
That is in stark contrast with the pension that Yale's president Rick Levin will receive when he retires, which amounts to $42,000 a month.
And we hope he retires soon. But
the members may not mind if they increase his pension as an incentive. On top of it, there's no cost of living adjustment in the pension. So for Virginia, for instance, what she retires on in 3 years, that $8,000 that she retires on in 3 years, she's going to have to live with that for the rest of her life. And then to add insult to injury, the Yale's pension fund is overfunded by some $200 million. And we had accountants take a look at it, and they came to the conclusion that Yale could settle a contract with a decent retirement benefit without adding one cent of new money.
But isn't it time for all Americans to make sacrifices?
Oh, you're
I mean,
Ken,
I mean,
I'm shocked.
You really think?
Well,
you know,
and
yes.
In fact,
share the
in
pain.
Fact, we are
yes,
making
let's
a very significant sacrifice. You know, we're on strike, and that is a huge sacrifice for very large numbers of our members to stand up and fight for what we need and what we deserve from an institution that is more than capable of affording it, and certainly has not just the financial means, but a moral obligation based on the fact that they have these wonderful financial means. And that they are an organization and an institution that is supposed to operate in the public good in this state and in this community, and we're holding them to that standard, and we're making a significant sacrifice to do that because we feel that it is important for every single person who works here now and every person who will work here in the future. This isn't just about us. It's about us and our children's children having good union jobs with benefits and prospects for a secure future, you know, for to continue to be in this community.
Laura, I asked Virginia before about job security, and she said that that's more of an issue that you're really dealing with, that you're more vulnerable. Could you explain that to us?
Sure. In Local 34, the kind of work that we traditionally do, you know, the clerical, technical type of work, had traditionally not been subject to widespread subcontracting. And so through the years, it had not been that significant an issue for us. And we have wonderful language to protect us when there are actual legitimate kinds of layoffs, you know, if the grant money runs out from a particular research position, if, the, you know, as work normally changes and, you know, moves on and folks are displaced as a result of that, we had wonderful language that provided for protections and allowed us to continue our salaries and our benefits while we looked for other jobs at Yale. And in any given year, there were several hundred jobs at Yale opening up. So we had this wonderful system to allow us to move around in that way. What's happened now is that we're faced with the fact that the kind of work we do is becoming more and more the kind of work that large corporations like Yale are looking to subcontract. You know, library cataloging, which is done on the computer, can be done from anywhere. such as medical billing can be done from anywhere. India, the Philippines, places like that. We have some serious concerns, and they've been borne out, in fact, by actions on the part of the university, that there is a desire to, and certainly an intention, actually, to subcontract many parts of our work, which would leave us unprotected in the sense that if our current system of job security is based on finding other jobs as they open at Yale, as we eliminate those jobs, systematically eliminate that work and ship it overseas or outsource it to wherever, there will be fewer and fewer jobs, so the protections we have won't be adequate. What we're looking for is some way of ensuring that the work isn't sent out, it isn't outsourced, that in fact the promise that President Levin made to us almost 2 years ago now of wanting to have a partnership here, wanting to work with us about how the university had no intention of decimating the ranks of Local 34, but simply wanted to have more flexibility about working with them to achieve those goals rather than what we perceive as a goal to decimate our unions and leave us with fewer members, fewer jobs, and a much less secure future.
You know, you're at obviously a preeminent Ivy League college. We have such notable scholars there as Professor Cornell West, and so on. It's almost incomprehensible to me that the student body and the faculty in mass has not shut down Yale. What in the world is going on with, as I said, I was very pleased that Jesse Jackson came out. He's been very good on labor issues traditionally. Well, what is going on with real support from the people who utilize the services of the people who are mowing the lawns, who are cleaning the dorms, who are doling out the burgers, who are doing all the clerical work? What's happening with the rest of the faculty and the students such that we don't see tens of thousands of people out? And we should also make mention that since we're called Building Bridges, that one of the prime employers in that area is Yale University. They have replaced the lost industry, etc. They are the prime employer in that entire area.
That is absolutely true.
What is going on with the community? I'd like to get Virginia in on this and Bill as well. Why aren't we, I know there is support, but why isn't there mass support?
In the community, there is mass support. I mean, when we march and when we have actions, we have almost the entire New Haven community. So the New Haven community supports us 100%, and we do get mass people out. The faculty and the students, that's another story. I have no idea why they're not out with us. I wish they were.
Well, the in fact...
and this is Bill Meyerson now,
yes,
and before it was...
Virginia Henry.
This strike has received more student support than any strike in the history of Yale. As we talked earlier, there's been many. More support than people could ever remember. And is that a majority of students? No, but it's a very strong core of committed students who are out there every day organizing their colleagues about the issues in the strike, and increasingly day by day picking up support. Now, in terms of the faculty, just this afternoon, faculty members delivered a petition to President Levin signed by nearly 200 faculty, as I understand it, demanding that that Yale join the union and bring the issues to binding arbitration in order to end the strike. By the way, the demand for binding arbitration came originally from the unions before the last strike in March, as a way to see if we could spare this campus and the workers in the city of this kind of disruption. And that's unprecedented on the part of the faculty at Yale. So we're quite pleased on both fronts on the kind of support we're getting.
And as I understand it, there are a number of political figures who have signed on to that demand also for binding arbitration.
Yeah, a number of national, state, and local community and political and religious leaders, including Senator Joe Lieberman and Senator John Kerry and Governor Dean, both Lieberman and Dean, have come to the picket lines and have spoken out in support of the workers and their struggle.
And where do you see going next to broaden the support even beyond the members of the New Haven community? Because certainly our audience is sympathetic to these issues and needs to feel how they can express their solidarity with our sisters and brothers who are out.
Well, we actually... if we haven't reached a settlement by the end of this week, there is a major rally and march planned for this weekend. On Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the American labor movement goes to Yale. we're expecting thousands of other union members from across the country, including the AFL-CIO President John Sweeney, to be here on campus with us, marching and rallying for our futures, for retirement with dignity, for some measure of job security, for better wages, and some modicum of training and advancement opportunities.
And if some folks from the New York, New Jersey, and even Connecticut area who are listening to this program want to join in, how will they get in touch?
They should contact the Federation of Hospital and University Employees, and the phone number is 203-624-5161.
Laura, give that phone number one more time, please.
Sure. It's 203-624-5161 and extension
309.
This number belongs to
Bill Meyerson.
That's Bill Meyerson.
And if we want to get in touch with the president of Yale and suggest rather ardently that he resolve this strike amiably, meaning meeting the demands of the workers, which are fair and just and equitable, what do we do?
Well, we'll have to look that number up for you.
but you can write to him. It is President Richard.
You stop taking our calls. So
we are very good at emails here, and we're very good at writing. So give us that address.
It's President Richard Levin. And it's at Yale University, Woodbridge Hall, Woodbridge Hall. And that's on Wall Street, Wall Street. And the New Haven, Connecticut. And the zip code is 06511.
She delivered that just like a teacher would. Well, we'd like to thank you, Laura Smith and Bill Meyerson and Virginia Henry, and we insist that Yale meet the demands of the workers who keep that institution functioning. And that's what education is about. It's about creating a much more equitable, fair, and just world for people to live in and upholding the interests of the working class, who, after all, do create all the wealth.
And when you win, I'm not saying if you win, but I'm saying when you win, we'll invite you all down again, and we'll talk about what the lessons were for all the other workers in the country.
And we would love to have the two of you join us on Saturday, if you can. We'll be here on the New Haven Green this Saturday, September 13th. At 12 noon, there's going to be some food, and at 1 o'clock, we're going to be rallying and marching.
Well, we will always be with you, if not physically this time, certainly in spirit.
Great.
And we'll continue to keep in contact and let our listeners know about the progress of this effort.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
it's been
you.
A pleasure.
So much.
All we can say is make sure that our sisters and brothers get a decent contract and get back, and we'd like to thank you for listening. And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. And strike, 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 organize, 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 and get those contracts settled with wages and benefits and dignity that our sisters and brothers deserve. Thank you for listening. Have a good evening.
Good night.